In mid-December, Minister John McCallum of the Federal Immigration Cabinet Portfolio visited our city. On that occasion, he was joined by Mayor Nahadnenshi in praising our city for its openness to welcome Syrian refugees during their time of need. The following day, a news story on the radio observed that not only were Calgarians on the right side of this dilemma, but that the Calgary Catholic Immigration Society, along with the leadership of Bishop Henry, were blazing the trail in these efforts. It was edifying to hear brothers and sisters of ours, especially Bishop Henry, publicly praised on the radio. Isn't it interesting, then, that little more than a month later, we have heard plenty about Bishop Henry on the radio again? And not just on the radio, but for the last 2 weeks, on pretty well every platform of media, our bishop has been held up as a hateful bigot, out of touch with the needs of the suffering, who is defiant of the teaching and example of Pope Francis. All of this due to the two letters he issued as bishop of this diocese, decrying the harmful measures our provincial government is trying to force into our children's schools regarding guidelines for the inclusion of specific segments of students specially designated for being more at risk of feeling excluded than any others. Would not ordinarily do this, but Father Jerome has asked that this weekend I would deliver the same homily as I preached last weekend. Because of a parish initiative, about which you will hear more at the end of Mass, he felt it was important that we all be up to speed on the things you have likely been hearing these days in the press. We do not blame the media for the lambasting of our bishop, per se, as the media is merely reporting on the sentiments of actual individuals. Sadly, those individuals are not exclusively who you would take to be your typical enemies of the church. In point of fact, some of these individuals are Catholic school board trustees and dissident theologians who teach in our own Catholic post-secondary institutions. How quickly praise can turn to cursing when an audience stops hearing that which it would prefer to hear. If you have not read our bishop's two letters, I strongly encourage you to do so. It is imperative that we be well informed of what the church actually teaches and not what we are incorrectly accused of promoting to the detriment of students in our schools. What Bishop Henry has taken exception to is the supposition on the part of the government that policies and procedures of our schools do not yet adequately address the safety of students who feel themselves to be minorities. The inconsistency lay in the fact that without identifying one particular cause of students feeling segregated and bullied, in debate here are gender and orientation, Catholic schools have worked for more than a century in this province to ensure that no child, for any reason, feels segregated or bullied. Proposing that our schools may be lacking because we do not implement unique protocols that address the so-called lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, queer community as distinct unto itself is absurd. We do not because in our schools, these classifications need not exist. our schools, in fact, all schools, are filled with only one kind of student: children of God. Our students are respected, honored, and protected, not because of their gender, confusion around their gender, or declared sexual preference. Our students are respected, honored, and protected because they are God's children. Not yours, not mine, not Bishop Henry's, not the government of Alberta's. They are God's children, and he demands that they be loved and cared for, all of them equally, none with unique and special recognition. This is why our bishop has stood up. And shockingly, this is apparently why he has been attacked. In fairness, appreciating what I have just tried to outline isn't actually why he has been attacked. It is the refusal to hear what he says and the presumption that he means something else which has earned him this persecution, even from the sheep of his own flock. I addressed this last weekend not only because it is timely, but because it pertained directly to all of the scriptures we were nourished by last Sunday. I began this homily by observing how quickly the tables can turn, as they did for Bishop Henry, when being praised for his refugee advocacy one day, and then cursed for his defense of God's plan for his children's sexuality the next day. Last weekend's gospel presented our Lord identifying himself as the fulfillment of the prophesied Messiah, and how all had their eyes fixed on him. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. Literally, no more than 45 seconds later, after he had challenged them by recognizing that oftentimes in Israel's history, God sought the people's attention by neglecting them and showing his favor to the Gentiles, we heard, "All who heard this were filled with rage. They got up, drove Jesus out of their town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff." It would seem Bishop Henry is in good company. All of us can relate to not liking what we are hearing, especially when what we are hearing challenges us to change or take a second look at something we thought we had already solved. Yet oftentimes this is precisely what we need. Thankfully, Bishop Henry has received tons of support from many people these days. Scandalously, he has been insulted and demeaned from some who should be implicit supporters. There is another segment, though, which is somewhere in between. These are the ones who do not attack and do not praise. They simply wonder, out loud or to themselves, why can't the bishop just mind his own business? Just keep his thoughts to himself. The reason for that is because speaking out in the face of falsehood is not something we have the option to neglect. Bishop Henry has undoubtedly felt like the prophet Jeremiah, who heard God say to him, "Stand up and tell the people everything that I command you." "Do not break down before them, or I will break you before them." Last Sunday, we listened to St. Paul's famous and treasured hymn to love. The whole world over is rightly taken by this time-honored ode. For many to hear these words of St. Paul, that love is patient, love is kind, and then to hear the words of our bishop, a contradiction would be presumed. Paul says, "Love, love, love." Henry says, "Judge, condemn, hate." But can this possibly be true? Is our bishop, himself a successor of the apostles, possibly preaching anything other than love? I challenge anyone who says so to calmly sit down and read those letters over again. They are dripping with love, primarily because they have as their object the protection and well-being of our students, and secondarily, because they firmly level a challenge to see beyond popular modern opinions and look into the hearts of men and women. For love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. These days, as in so many days, for so many reasons before, Bishop Henry has shown himself again to be a prophet. He has stood up, raised his voice, and for love of the truth, has spoken what needs to be said. What he needs now is many other prophets to join him in standing up for the truth. My dear sisters and brothers, that means you. If you believe and support what Bishop Henry has said, then make that known to those around you and to the powers that be. If you struggle to accept his teaching, then humbly step back and ask yourself why, before flippantly declaring your opposition before all. Truth and love. This is the message, and we are the prophets who must declare it. We take solace in God's warning and promise to Jeremiah. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you.